presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the rest I'm in glory, his face I at last shall see. 'Twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Church, let's sing that chorus one more time.
How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Sing, it's a word that sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious grace, a sinner's perfect plea. And oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. she first loved me. It tells me what my Father has in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, His sunshine all the way. And oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. How I love Jesus, because He first loved me.
Please join me for the responsive reading. To those who are hungry, Jesus says, "Come and eat." To those who are thirsty, He says, "Come and drink." Stop wasting your money on food that doesn't satisfy. Come to me. Please bow your heads with me in prayer. Heavenly and gracious Father, we gather here at Millwood this morning with thanksgiving on our hearts. We're so grateful to have a safe and loving place to come and to worship You freely, Lord. We ask of You while we're here today that we focus truly on You and Your goodness. Let us shut out the busyness of life for this time today and not focus on the grocery list and today's to-dos, but to focus on Your love, the word that You have for us, and to sing praises to You in Your name, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen.
As we prepare to come to God in prayer, we always take just a moment to remind ourselves that we don't just gather here by ourselves, but we gather in the community, and we're called to be the community. So I'm going to ask that you read this with me together. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners.
Our Father everlasting, the all-creating One, God Almighty, through Your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior, I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three to one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus.
judge and our defender, suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious life. Forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Oh, I believe in you, and I believe you rose again, and I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Wherever the journey took you last week, it's brought you here now. So this is the time just to kind of sit and bask and be for just a few moments in the way and to step into the outside world. As Alyssa mentioned, we always keep a prayer list out there, and we do have folks that we want to make sure we lift up. Tammy Guthrie called me this morning. Her dad is in the hospital. Travis Tennick is his name. So we'll get him added to our prayer list, and she has to do the good. Travis up in our prayers today. And Ryan Polk having a birthday today. Yeah, congratulations. You made it another year. Very soon. We hope, there you go. We hope many more. So we always want to celebrate those moments with people as well. Let's take a moment now, all of us, just to kind of quiet ourselves. And it's just a moment. You kind of exhale and just kind of breathe in and let the Spirit of God fall upon us. And we'll take a moment to do that. I will offer the pastoral prayer and invite you to pray.
this is kind of an interesting time of the year for the church. We've made it through Easter and all of the things that go with Easter, and now we're just forging ahead, hoping to build on that experience. And so here's what I'm going to do. And I occasionally do message series, and sometimes they go really well, and sometimes they're maybe not as well as others. So this isn't going to be a message series, but here's what happens to those of us who do what I do. We tend to always gravitate towards certain books in the Bible or to certain themes in the Scriptures. It's just, we all have a Bible within the Bible. And so here's what I've decided to do for the next 27 sermons, and I didn't figure out how far out that's going to go because I might miss a Sunday here or there. I'm going to preach from each book of the New Testament for the next 27 sermons. I'm not going to say Sundays. So we're going to start with Matthew, which just so happens I could probably just about lay out every chapter of the Gospel of Matthew too. So here's my commitment to myself, and thus my commitment to you, is that it's going to force me to read each book, at least once a week. So I read the Gospel of Matthew this week, and what I was looking for was something that maybe just jumped out at me, something that I hadn't paid a lot of attention to lately. Next week I will read the Gospel of Mark. Thank goodness it's a little shorter. But when I get to 1 John, 2 John, and Jude, that'll be like, you know, with a cup of coffee in the morning and be done. But it'll walk us through the whole New Testament in the next 27 weeks, and I'm going to throw this at you. By the time we get there, we'll be sneaking up towards Thanksgiving and Christmas and all that good stuff. So here's what I did this week. I read through the Gospel of Matthew, and I kept coming back to this passage that I'm going to share with you today. This is in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and it starts with the 12th verse, ending with the 18th and 19th verse. This is a part of the Sermon on the Mount. We'll talk about that in just a second. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus says to his disciples, "In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets." Gathered here today, we take just a moment to give thanks to God for these words and to ask God's blessing upon them. Let's pray. Lord, we bow our heads again for just a moment. Just to maybe let these words fall upon us. These words today, words of our Lord. We come into this place, Lord, because we do want to connect with you. We want to know your will for our lives. We hope that while we are in here, that we will find discernment, that we'll find courage, that we'll understand hope. And so today, as we lift our voices up to you in song, as we lift our souls up to you in prayer, as we lift all that we have up to you as we read these words, fill us, O Lord, with your Spirit, that indeed these words might shine out in front of us, be a lamp unto our feet, that we might know the ways to go and the ways to live. We offer this prayer today in the name of Jesus, our Lord. The passage that I read to you today certainly had a lot in it, packed with a lot of meanings about, you know, how to live a godly life, how to live in the ways of God. This is part of what we call the Sermon on the Mount, and in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus collects his disciples up on the mountain, and he just kind of shares with them how to live in the ways of God and what that looks like, and hopefully how that will impact the world around you. He starts with the Beatitudes, and you might be familiar with the Beatitudes, but there's some of the Beatitudes that, you know, blessed are the pure in heart, for, you know, they will see God. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the peace. peacemakers. They will be called children of God. But then we get to the seventh chapter where we read today, and the lessons, the life lessons continue. Jesus is talking about, you know, what it means to love your enemies and what it means to give to the needy. And he talks about how to pray and what prayer means to us. So there's a lot right there. And then we get to this part, this 12th verse right here. And Jesus says, in everything, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, in the 21st century, as we gather here today, that shouldn't need a lot of explanation. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We should all get that anyway, because you know, dust these little ones up here. We teach them that from the time they're little bitty. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I don't know that we always know where that came from, but that's where it came from. That's certainly part of where it came from. That part doesn't need a lot of explanation. But if you'll notice the next little thing that Jesus says in this passage, that does need some explanation. Because what Jesus says next is, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, for this is the law and the prophets. This is the law and the prophets. And everything, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, for this is the law and the prophets. What Jesus is saying is that when we quote the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, when we quote the Old Testament laws, when we quote the Old Testament prophets, if they don't coincide with in everything, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, then we probably need to think a little harder on them. We probably need to sift through them a little more. Now remember, Jesus, in the Gospel of Matthew, is talking to a Jewish crowd. These people understood the law, and these people understood the prophets. They knew the law, and they knew the prophets. They didn't need Jesus telling them about the law. They didn't need Jesus telling them about the prophets. But what Jesus said to them is, in everything, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This is the law. This is the prophets. Then Jesus goes on to say this. Enter through the narrow gate, he says. For the gate is wide, and the road is easy that leads to destruction. I mean, that sounds like that could be like, who remembers Elmer Gantry? I mean, that could be an Elmer Gantry sermon right there, because that sounds like that could be some fire and, you know, some brimstone stuff right there. You know, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the road is easy that leads to destruction, he says. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life. And you will find it. You will find it. Jesus is talking about life. He's talking about the life of the ages. He's talking about significant life. He's talking about life to come. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life. What Jesus is saying is that to become the person that God hopes for me to be, that God hopes for me to be, is not going to be easy. That it's going to be difficult, that it's going to take effort, and it's going to take work, and it's going to take perseverance, and it's going to take those times where we look in the mirror and we don't like what we see, but at least we recognize that we don't like what we see. The road, the easy road, is the self-centered way. The other way is hard. The other way is difficult. And few will take it. Few will take the road of selflessness, and few will take the road of self-discovery. Few will take it. The road is hard that leads to life, Jesus said. Probably not what you wanted to hear today. Right? I mean, we come in here because we want things to be easier. I'll share this with you. All right? I'm not a businessman. I see several of you out there, businessmen and women out there, and we live in the business mecca of the United States anyway. So I'm going to give you right here, if you want to write this down, I'm going to give you a tip right here on how to make money. I'm not a businessman, and I don't have a lot of money, so I haven't followed through with my own advice here. But here's your tip for making money in the world. Create something, invent something that makes people's life easier. It's a bazillion-dollar industry, and it always has been. I mean, think about the first guy that invented the wheel. Don't you know he sold those things? But, oh, look, probably got a patent. The guy that invented fire, well, hey, listen, you could do it. It's a bazillion-dollar industry. Make things easier. Sell things that make people's life easier, and you'll make a bazillion dollars. Why? Because we like the easy road. We like the wide gate. We like the easy road. I have in my house now, and I'm a little slow on the tech stuff, but you know, I always get, catch up at some point. So right now I have in my house, I don't even know what it's called, but it's one of those Alexa things. And it's you know, one of those things where you just tell it what to do and it does stuff. Right? Now, again, I'm not very high tech, so I don't really have all this down the way that I should. So mainly what I use it for is to play music, but it's really kind of cool because I can sit down in my living room and I can just say, Alexa, play smooth jazz from Pandora, and it says, playing smooth jazz from Pandora, and then it actually does it. And I can even change the volume on it. I can say, Alexa, turn down the volume, and turns down the volume. Now, I'm getting older all the time. Maybe some of the young folks don't get this, but I remember the day when we actually spent the energy to turn a radio on. Do you remember those days? You just, it took so much energy just to, and for the volume that you actually had to turn the volume. But this is easier, and we like easier. Who here has ever used Bite Squad? Anybody? Oh, don't. I'm going to tell you right now, don't, because it's so easy. Here's what you do. You get on your computer, you go to a website called Bite Squad, and you can order your dinner or your lunch from almost any restaurant in the area, and they'll bring it right to your door. And that's it. I mean, they will bring it right to you. Right? It's not just pizza anymore. No more just pizza. Now you can get your spaghetti, you can get your enchiladas, you can get your fried pickles, whatever you want. If you've been paying attention to the news at all, then you know that we are now working on self-driving cars because pushing a gas pedal and turning a steering wheel, I guess, is becoming too difficult for people. The point is, we like easier. So people are always going to work on easier. I have recently been trying, and I've been trying, actually doing it, getting back into the gym and trying to get in a little better shape, a little healthier. There was a time in my life where I was in the gym. This is going to be hard to believe, but I was in the gym 5-6 days a week. I was working out. I was doing all that good stuff. But then life got busy, and I got older, and I got crankier, and I got creakier, and I got lazy, and I stopped going, and that's really easy to do. So lately I've been trying to get back into the habit, getting back into the gym. And here's the conclusion that I've come to. The main reason people don't work out and the main reason that people don't eat right is because it's easier not to. That's just all there is to it. It's just easier not to. It's hard to make time to go to the gym. It's hard to work out when you haven't worked out in a while. It's hard to prepare a meal that is going to be healthy. It's easy to drive through Whataburger, not to mention delicious, by the way. I mean, it's such a draw to us. It's just easier. The people in Jesus' day had found the easy road. They had found the easy road. And for them, the easy road was their religion. For them, the easy road was their ideas and their ideologies. For them, the easy road was their biases, their cliques, and it worked for them. And they liked it. Their religion almost blinded them, or at least created a blind spot for them where when they looked, they couldn't see all of the bigger picture. And all of us probably have, in a sense, that blind spot. And blind spots can be dangerous. You think about when the ones that aren't driving yet, you know, think about when you teach your kids to drive, or when you learn to drive, you check the mirrors, and you check the mirrors, and then you're always taught to make sure you look, check your blind spot. When you're first starting to drive, it's hard to imagine that you can't see all there is to see when you look in that mirror and when you look in that mirror. I mean, it really is, I still don't know that I really get it, but every once in a while, boy, you'll have something, a car in your blind spot, right next to you. I mean, how amazing is that? A huge car right next to you, and you don't see it. It's in our blind spot. Because sometimes things get right in the right spot, we all have things that we're not really aware of about ourselves. And things that, if we're not careful, will cause a wreck if we change lanes. We need to be in tune and in touch with our blind spots. In life, and blind spots are hard to identify, right? Because if they were easy to identify, if they were easy to see, they wouldn't be blind spots. They would just be out in the open spots. Blind spots are difficult to see. They're difficult to recognize, but blind spots also can get in our way. They get in our way, keep us from being who it is that God hopes us to be. It keeps us from being the people that God knows that we can be. You know, as I think about my own blind spots, and I know I have some. I asked somebody one time about how do you identify your blind spots? Because I do think that's important as we try to grow in our faith. How do we identify our blind spots? And they said, well, pay attention to the things that annoy you during the day. You know, it could be a blind spot. Think about the things that make you angry during the day. That might be identifying a blind spot for you. Pay attention to things that instantly make you defensive. It could be identifying a blind spot. For the religious people in Jesus' day, their religion was their blind spot. Their rules were their blind spot. They couldn't see the people, the protocol. This was all they could see. Here's what Jesus also says at the end of this particular passage. You'll be known by your fruits. The tree is known by the fruit. Yes, I think that goes right along with this right here. In everything, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the road is easy that leads to destruction. Enter through the narrow gate. Take the hard road. What Jesus is saying is there's two ways of living that separate and lead to two distinctive destinations. We can take this particular passage and we can turn it into something in the theological world that we call eschatological, meaning, this isn't about the road to heaven or the road to hell. This is the road to life, Jesus says. The life that we live. And so, as we think about this Gospel of Matthew this week, I'm going to put the challenge out to you, and the challenge is indeed to pay attention to your triggers. Pay attention to that which is maybe keeping you or preventing you from being who it is that God's calling you to be. I'm also going to call you to pay attention to others. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. For this is the law. This is the prophets. It's tough this week, when it gets bumpy, when you have those decisions to make, the gate is narrow, and the road is hard, and it leads to life. That is my prayer. Let's pray. Lord, gathered in this place, we just continue to open ourselves up to you. For we know that indeed life can be bumpy and the road can be hard. But it's our prayer, O Lord, that you would open our eyes in such a way that we could see, that we would recognize that which is holding us back, that we could recognize that which is keeping us from being the loving, caring, giving people that we know that we can be. So as we go throughout this week, Lord, continue to challenge us, continue, Lord, to give us courage.